Blog Talk Radio.
Finally, I'm finally free. Finally, I'm finally me. Finally, I'm finally free.
Installment of the Black Girl Nerds podcast. My name is Jamie. I'm your host. Episode 39, Comic Book Geeks. So tonight we're talking about all things related to comic books. So if you are a true comic book geek, feel free to join in our discussion via Twitter, or you can call us. Our hashtag on Twitter is BGN Podcast, and you can always give us a call whether you want to comment or just have any questions to ask us. Our phone number here is 347-237-4616. Our co-hosts tonight are Grace, Brittany, and Renee. I think we have a couple of co-hosts that may be running a little late that may be calling in. So we'll look forward to them calling in. But for now, before I pass over the mic to our co-hosts, I do want to make a few announcements. So I'll try to get these out of the way as quickly as possible so we can get into the discussion. First thing is, it was just announced to me, I am actually helping to moderate a chat that is happening this week with NPR, Blacks in Tech. They're having a series that's going on. Very excited about that. So Friday I will be on. It will be at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, along with panelists who are Black men and women that are working to develop relationships and building social online communities and helping to facilitate the movement of getting us involved in tech industries and being self-starters and entrepreneurs in our respective STEM fields. So please tune into that. Use the hashtag NPR Blacks in Tech, and you can always follow at Black Girl Nerds on Twitter to get more updates on that. Another announcement, DramaFever.com. DramaFever is a web platform where you can watch foreign films. A lot of K-dramas are on there. So if you're someone who's interested in watching those kinds of movies, they also have on their website articles that are published. And they have actually approached us and said, hey, we really like the content on your site. We'd like to partner with you. So there will be some content from our contributors on Black Girl Nerds that will be writing content for Drama Fever, and Drama Fever's content will be published on blackgirlnerds.com. So thank you to that partnership, to the people at Drama Fever. Also, another partnership with HeedMag.com. It's H-E-E-D Mag.com. They're an online magazine, and they have tons of content about lifestyle and culture and sports, and they have a geek section headed up by BJ Brown. BJ Brown really liked the content on Black Girl Nerds, and they are sharing content from our site, and we're also sharing content from his site on our website. So again, thank you for that partnership at HeedMag.com. If you go there, click on the Geek section, you'll see a post that's been written from our site on there. We also have partnerships going on with some new startup websites, EveJaneClaire.com. That's Eve, E-V-E, Jane, J-A-N-E, Claire, C-L-A-I-R.com. Three women that started their own website. We'll be sharing content from their site on Black Girl Nerds. And ForeverGeek.com, there's also a partnership going on with them. So very excited. Online community building, it's huge. So I'm really honored and privileged that you guys have reached out to us, and I'm glad to have formed those partnerships with you and really, really appreciate your support. So thank you. All right, so let me get to the topic at hand. I will pass that virtual mic over. We'll start with Grace, then Brittany, then Renee. I think we've got another co-host that's calling in here. Let me see. I think area code 301, you're on the air.
Hey, what's going on? CJ.
Oh, it's CJ. Okay. CJ wants to talk to us. CJ is a comic book geek. So we'll have you introduce yourself as well. CJ's from Three Black Geeks. They have a weekly podcast as well. So Grace, Brittany, Renee, and then CJ, introduce yourselves. Tell us what your websites are, social media platforms, any kind of current projects that you're currently doing.
Cool. Hello, everyone. As you mentioned, I'm Grace Gibson, and I love comic books, so I'm so glad to be on today. I'm actually writing a dissertation about Black women in comic books, so this will actually kind of help me out in the long run. I have a couple of recent projects coming up. I just completed an article on Janelle Monáe and Afrofuturism, so in the new year, be on the lookout for that. You can catch me on Twitter, gbreezy20. And you can also catch me on my movie site at Black Savant Cinema.
Okay, I guess this is me. This is Brittany. I have one blog right now. It's called The Lows and Woes of a Natural Girl. It's all things about natural hair and how to take care of your hair. Also, you can find me on Twitter. I am under naturalgirl89. That's all in one, no kind of spaces or anything. Currently, I'm just going to school for fashion merchandising. I am a mother. I am a wife, and that's about it.
Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm Renee. I'm one of the TheBlackGeeks.com. We're on Twitter. I also run SciFiGasm.com. On Facebook under SciFiGasm, Tumblr SciFiGasm, Instagram SciFiGasm, Twitter SciFiGasm. So just search that in Google. You'll find it somewhere. Right now, current projects, just continuing with the live chats of TV shows with the regular gang of folks. Also, starting new podcasts where discussing specific topics and looking actually to get into having a couple guest writers on the website. So look for that.
Awesome. And I think CJ dropped off, but he called back in. So, CJ, you back on with us?
Yeah, I'm back on. All right, I'm CJ from Three Black Geeks. You can find us at on Twitter at Three Black Geeks, threeblackgeeks.blogspot.com. That's our blog's website that we do kind of written reviews and such. And we also on our iTunes for our podcast that we do for video games and a little bit of comic book movies, movies in general, things of that nature. Upcoming, we actually have a panel at this convention coming up called MagFest. It's in the D.C. metropolitan area at the National Harbor. So if you're listening and you happen to be in the area and you've never been to MagFest, come see us up at the National Harbor at MagFest. Even if you've never been to MagFest, you'll probably enjoy it because MagFest is a kind of video game-oriented convention. It's kind of 24/7. The game room is everything is pretty much 24/7. So the game room is 24/7. They have everything from classic games from like you know Pong and Donkey Kong all the way up to the recent arcade games and such. It's fun. It's fun as I don't know what. So that's one of our upcoming projects. And finishing out this year, we're doing the Boo Saga podcast and stuff. And I believe D in around I think January might be doing the. He's actually going to start doing a blog of all the Madea movies. So, yeah, that should be fun.
Wow.
So, yeah,
special.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Okay, cool. I think we've got two co-hosts that have agreed to do this show with us. So I think maybe this might be one of them. So if you are pressing one to speak to us, I'm going to assume you're one of them. So I'm bringing you on area code 916. You're on the air with Black Girl Nerds.
Hi, it's me, Black Nerdy. Not
like Black Nerdity. That's okay, Black Nerdy. You can stay on the line with us to co-host, and we will get to our topic. So, comic book geeks, first question, got several. First question to each of you guys. What is your favorite comic book of all time, and why?
Ooh.
Tough one.
Mm-hmm. Sailor Moon, top down. I'm going to say Sailor Moon, even though it's like a manga, but it's like still a comic. So, yeah, I'm going to say that. That was my gateway comic, so all things action.
I'll go, I'm going to say Captain America. Well, at least Captain America when Brubaker started up and stuff, because that was kind of my gateway. I was never really a huge fan of the character like that, but I was a fan of it. But, like, reading his run on Captain America kind of had me like, oh, my God, I love Captain America now and stuff, especially, you know, Winter Soldier and all that stuff. So I'm going to go Captain America.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
I'm going to go with X-Men Storm. That was my kind of gateway into it, and she's kind of been my ride or die, I guess you could say. So, I'm gonna go with her.
Nice. I'm gonna just say X-Men. You can't go wrong with it. It's pretty much pretty good characters. And what's good about that series is everybody has enough that you can still have enough to read on, I guess. It's good characters in the story, so I'm gonna stick with that classic one.
Okay, my favorite of all time is one called Nemesis. It's short. There's only 4 issues, but the way that they wrote it is amazing, crazy villain, crazy storyline, and it's just great.
Cool. For me, it's Excalibur. That was my gateway into comic books. Excalibur was a short-lived series created by Chris Claremont and Alan Davis. They featured some of the characters from X-Men, and it was based in the UK. And what I loved about Excalibur was there were a lot of female representation in it. There were a lot of female villains. And in some issues, the women characters actually outnumbered the men. So as a kid reading that, girl, only girl amongst a group of guys when we were all reading comic books together, that was my comic book. And to this day, I still love it.
Just by chance, have you read Captain Britain in MI-13? Since, I mean, I know you like Excalibur, so have you segued into reading that yet, or you just haven't?
No, I haven't read anything past Chris Claremont. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just a recommendation, though, if you get a chance to, if you like those characters and stuff, some of them kind of carried over into Captain Britain and MI-13, so. You know, I think
right.
That run has already been done like years ago, but, you know, just heads up.
Yep. Now, a lot of folks on Twitter are saying those are some really hard questions, but feel free to post your answers on Twitter, guys. My second question is, do you have a publisher preference? And this may be a very hard question as well. Do you have a preference towards Marvel,
yeah.
DC, Ooh. Dark Tower, Image?
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with IDW because they brought back Samurai Jack. And
yep.
Really?
And they got Turtles.
Yes.
They got Turtles.
The fact that they canceled that show and then they brought back the character and the story as a comic, I love them for that. So
wow.
Yeah.
So you just the first time
that.
Hearing this now. That's mm-hmm. Wow. Wow. I did not know that.
About Samurai Jack coming back?
I did not know about that. I swear, I read IDW, and it's only G.I. Joe and Transformers, but I did not know about that.
Yeah, there's two issues, and I'm over the moon excited about it, and yes.
Wow.
It's great.
Awesome.
I also like Oni Press, too, like Scott Pilgrim and, like, Rocket Girl and Lost
mm-hmm.
at Sea, things like that, because they have, like, all the nice kind of Western slice of life comics, too, that are, like, easy for, like, comic newbies to pick up, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you get tired of Capes and Cows and all that, you can just go to Omi Press and they'll have something for you, especially for us girls.
Yeah. I don't know. I can pull from each one of the public, you know, publications of what I like. It's kind of hard for this item. I suck at doing stuff like this, deciding which ones I love. I love Dark Horse, and now I don't know. And Marvel, well, you just, to hell with it, I like all of them. How about that? So I don't have to decide.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be one.
Okay. Yeah, I have to agree. Dark Horse has been definitely one of my faves, especially, you know, recently, and especially after I learned about Martha Washington, who came out of there. So it's kind of hard to pick one. There's some in each one that I like, and then some where I'm just like, yeah, maybe not. So I'm going to just say, like my fellow co-host, and kind of agree with them all and like them all.
Yeah, I guess I think around like the 90s, I was kind of like Marvel and Image mainly. Well, whatever I can get my hands on as a kid with Marvel Image, and then it kind of segued from Marvel for a while, and it was strictly Image, and then now it's like Marvel, IDW, a little bit of DC, and some Dark Horse I was reading for a while, so it's kind of a mix of those four, if anything. Oh, and Udon, Udon, so yeah, it's a mix of those five.
Yeah, to be fair, I haven't read a lot of the other publishers. I've read some Dark Horse. I haven't really read a lot of DC. Actually, I haven't read any DC comics. So Marvel is where – I know. Did somebody gasp?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I did too.
Like,
someone
have...
clutched their pearls, that statement. No, I haven't read any DC, but Marvel has just been the universe that I've been drawn to as a kid, and I even collected the Marvel comic cards. I don't know if y'all remember that when they had comic cards. So that's just the universe I've always been drawn to, and I'll always be a Marvel girl.
I was kind of like that because I was like all in DC because of the Batman Adventures and the Superman Adventures, and then they had the Justice League comics based on the cartoon. So yeah, that was me for a while. I'm still reading it, but primarily just Gail Simone's, like, the movement and Batgirl and things like that. Like, if Gail Simone's not writing the characters, then I don't really care. Because I just hate the new 52, so it's like, I'm just, like, picking out my favorites, like that.
So my next question is, what was the first comic book that you ever read? And what was the last comic book that you just read?
That's probably Spider-Man, based on the cartoon series. It was, like, during the free comic book day, and I went with my brother in this little hole in the wall in, on Market Street in San Francisco. And, yeah, it was Spider-Man and Archie. And my last comic, it's Spider-Man again. I just read Spider-Man, Big Time, by Dan Slott. Yeah, full circle.
The first comic book I read was Superman, and that was because my, like you're saying, it was free comic day, and I went with my brother. I was kind of like, I don't know if I'm into this.
yeah.
Just the comic book itself. I'm not really a Superman person. But then the last one I read was Elektra, because I was down and I needed something that, you know, a female, instead of crying, just kills people. I know that sounds morbid, but yeah, I just needed something. So the last one I read was Elektra.
Hmm. Yeah. I guess my first comic that I read was X-Men #1, only because I watched the animated series, so that kind of made me interested in reading the comic of it. Pretty sure that was for everybody anyway at the time. So last book that I read actually has been the Infinity #7 actually. Oh, no. Wow, not Infinity #7. Wow, Infinity #5. I've been kind of hardcore into that series, well, that big sort of story arc right now, you know, with Thanos and all of them going on right now. So that's the last one I've been reading right now.
I've read, like, a bunch last. I mean, I just finished, let's see, The Walking Dead. I just finished the last one of that. I just finished the Avengers Death, Murder World. I just did Nemesis. Like, there's a whole bunch. So, yeah. I'm just, like, catching up on lost time, so it's exciting to me.
Yeah. Finals week.
Oh, yes. For me, it was like a couple of friends had given me, like, three different Storms. Like, one when she was, like, growing up as a kid, and then the one when Eric Jerome Dickey kind of took on and did this part of the series with him and Black Panther, with her and Black Panther, rather. And then probably the recent one, because it's been a few, I've reread this one called The Vampire Huntress. It's in L.A. Banks through Dynamite, and that's partly for some research that I'm dealing with. And then Martha Washington again, because I have to write a paper on her, so I'm going back and reading that again. So those are probably the last two that I've read.
Yeah, my first comic was Archie. The Archie comics was my first one. My mom and brother and I, we went to this garage sale, and this guy sold it for a penny, and I read it, and I was just like, these are really cool. And then they had these little mini booklets in the grocery store at the cash register aisle, and I would always pick them up and read them. So that was my first comic. And then the last comic book I just read is the Walking Dead comics. I'm reading the volumes. I talked about this on the Black Geek Show this morning. I think there's like 12 volumes right now. So I'm on book 2, halfway through that. And then, Grace, you mentioned The Life and Times of Martha Washington, the Frank Miller comic. That is sitting collecting dust. I need to get to that. There's so many. I've got like a heaping pile of books right now that I need to get to reading. But yes, that is on my queue of comic books to read. And yeah, once I finish the Walking Dead series, I'm going to get to that one.
Yeah, Archie and Veronica were like the first ones I read too, because they were like mini books. So I was like, okay, I get what the concept is with this. And they're still making those. I was just in the store today, and the cover was Betty yelling at Veronica, stop decorating Archie and decorate the Christmas tree instead. So, I mean, it was just like they're still fighting over this little boy, and I'm just like, this is the worst example for children. But, you know, awesomeness that they're still making those, I guess.
Yeah.
Well,
Archie is now in a relationship with Valerie from Josie and the Pussycats, and they got a kid now. Yeah, so interracial marriage, biracial kid. Yeah, like they've really...
Gay marriage.
Yep.
All kinds of stuff happening in Archie.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I'm doing, like, my research paper on, like, comic books and children and things like that, and focusing more on, like, the Scholastic comics, because they have, like, their own imprint and other, like, independent ones for children. And it's interesting how, like, more diverse comic books for, like, young kids are more diverse than for us adults, because I'm like, dang, there's, like, so many black and other, you know, people of color in comic books for kids now. Because I remember growing up, like, all you had was, like, X-Men. And that was kind of it.
And Storm to look to, yeah. Storm was our role model. So, well, okay. I want to move to comic book news because it's been very controversial in social media. The Black Geeks, they talked about it on their show this morning. Huge news about Wonder Woman being cast by actress Gal Gadot. I wanted to know what your thoughts were on the casting decision and how do you feel about the response of her taking that role?
Well...
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead. Go ahead. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
She's a very pretty girl. Let's just be honest. Which that's not all that goes with Wonder Woman. But I'm glad they found someone that wasn't, like, I was kind of scared they were going to do, like, somebody like Megan Fox.
Yeah.
Like, somebody that's really not a great actress but is good on, easy on the eyes. I was a little disappointed, not because people weren't upset about that she was Israeli. I heard a lot of people were mad because she was skinny, which I think that's not really fair on her. Not women can't, you know, as all of the girls on this panel, you can't really help the shape you are. And I don't think that's really fair, that that's the only thing that you can pinpoint on her. Oh, she's skinny. She has no breasts. She has no ass. That's not really cool. Not fair that you would do that to somebody.
Well, I'll be honest with you, that's more so, and I hate to really say this, but that's kind of the state of how the fanboy community is when they see casting, whether it's a man or woman. I think men,
that's
men,
what
men,
happened
men,
with Chris Evans. They were saying he was too skinny for Captain America.
But I don't think men get it as worse as women, though. That's the thing. You can say Chris Evans is skinny, but you're not really making fun of him. But you see her, my thing was like, okay, she's small, but I know she can get big, and I know your guys know she can be athletic. But the you know, airheadedness of the fanboy community is like, she's too skinny, she, her breast is small. And it's like, what does that have to do with Wonder Woman? It's like, you know.
Right.
Right.
You know, but we, the fanboy community can be very nasty when it comes to that kind of stuff. So you're kind of sitting back like, oh, my God, we're better than this. What are you doing?
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, comics have always been very, you know, male-centered. I mean, primarily the majority of the creators and writers and artists are male. So, you know, that's kind of like this idea. And then oftentimes, if it's not, like, male-approved, then it kind of, like, doesn't get the green light. So, like, men don't like it, then, oh, well, we can't, you know, just like how people are saying, are people going to really want to go see a Wonder Woman movie? Yeah, I mean, you know.
That was the sort of the knee-jerk response when it was announced that she was going to be Wonder Woman. I was looking at all of these websites and on Mary Sue's site and on the Nerdist sites, and just like all of the comments were just these really mean, overtly sexist comments about, well, why should there even be a Wonder Woman, you know, and there should never be a Wonder Woman movie, and just really rude stuff. And I'm just like, wow. I mean, in 2013, we're still having this conversation? Like, seriously?
Right. But it's funny that they say that, because before she was even casted, you know, everybody was like, there needs to be a Wonder Woman movie. How come there hasn't been one? And then once we finally get somebody casted, then it's like, oh,
it's
they don't need to make it. It's a waste of time. And so it's like nobody really knows what they want to do. You know, it's just like we're always in flux.
Yeah.
I think people really do want the movie. It's just that those, you know, it's mostly just the internet trolls, the basement people who just, you know, always want to ruin the good stuff that we might can get. Like, I really want an Aquaman movie. Like, ever since Avatar, I've been wanting an Aquaman movie because I know we have the technology to, like, recreate that world, and it'll be a
right.
nice world. But, like, you know, everyone's like, ah, Aquaman, he's lame. All he can do is talk to fish and things like that. And but I really do want it. Like, there's a lot of good DC and Marvel characters that deserve movies, but because they're not mainstream or because of the fandom community, you know, we may not ever see them.
But I think
I was
the New 52 Aquaman
photo.
Actually might make it. Well, I think the New 52 Aquaman, though, kind of changed people's minds about them. But they, like you said, they're still kind of like, I don't know if we want to do an Aquaman movie, you know, and all that stuff. And I'm like, it could happen.
Yeah.
So I want to be clear. Like, this is, like, Renegade talking sci-fi. As I'm like, I was one of the first people, and, like, people can go back and look at my tweets, like, as soon as the news came out, like, I was one of the first people that, like, I got backlash on Twitter about it from some people, and I said it on the Black Geeks Today, like, I was one of the first people talking about she was too skinny, and I was like, you know, she's, like, got no boobs, this, that, and the other, because that iconic image of Linda Carter being Wonder Woman, she doesn't fit into that to me.
Mm-hmm.
So to replace Linda Carter with this actress, to me, did not fit that image. So, yeah, you know, give her a chance, all that great stuff. But to me, that was my first knee-jerk reaction. So it's like, you know, I'm not saying she can't do it, but just straight off just seeing her phenotypically, nah, it didn't do it for me. So, I mean, I get that people are trolling the internet and, like, going really hard about it, but, like, knee-jerk reaction, like, I tweeted pictures of, like, her comparing her to Linda Carter. Like,
no, Lord.
Like, nope, don't see it. Like, it was just, like, I was, like, not feeling it at all. Because it was just, like, what's going on? Like, I was expecting to see someone that looked like Sofia Vergara get cast, and then they picked up this waif-looking girl. And it's just, like, I don't know how much bulking up she can really do that people are saying.
Right.
And it's, like, you say Amazon, and they give me Twiggy, and it just, I'm not getting it at all. So
well, I can just give you an example, because there's a lot of times people say, like, oh my god, they cast this person. Heath Ledger was cast as Joker, and people went ape about it.
Yeah,
when it first came out.
I remember
that. People went ape about that so hard, and then now it's such an iconic performance, so you can't really. So I'm not saying that she's going to go in and just be, like, the best in the world, be the best Wonder Woman. She can do a performance and be terrible, and we can all laugh about Larry and say she was terrible.
Catwoman.
But, nobody can do Catwoman. That's another one. It's
goodness.
You can't do that iconic. Nobody has been. Michelle Pfeiffer did do a good job, but
I think Anne Hathaway did a fabulous job as Catwoman.
Yep.
Am I in the minority by saying that?
No.
Like,
no, she did a good job.
No,
okay.
No.
It was just not really that great of a movie. I didn't like the movie, but I think that she was one of the standout performances in there.
Yeah. I mean, because you know, I had mentioned this morning that Anne Hathaway, when I first heard that she was cast as Catwoman, I was like, "What? The chick from The Princess Diaries? Like, seriously?" And then I watched it, and she just killed it. Like, she blew it out of the water. So that's
Havoc. So I knew she could pull it off because I saw her in a movie called Havoc, which was, like, a little independent movie where she was, like, kind of ghetto and, like, crazy.
Oh,
so I was like,
I remember
that.
That
movie.
Yes.
Yeah,
wasn't
Anne Hathaway was a great actress.
Wasn't Joseph Gordon-Levitt in that movie, Havoc?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so I'm
was
like
the
one who's always like clubbing the fanboys and the trolls away, like, y'all need to go see Havoc. Then say that. Come back to see Havoc. That was me on the internet doing that during that time.
But I still didn't see her as a Catwoman when even seeing Havoc. I was just like, I mean, she's a good actress, but I just didn't see her in that role. But She did it. Really quick, there's somebody waiting to speak to us. Area code 618. I know you've been waiting a while, so I'm sorry about that. You're on the air with Black Girl Nerds. What's your name? Where are you from?
Hey, everybody. How y'all doing? This is DeMario.
Hey, DeMario.
Hey, what's going
on? What do you
on?
Think about, yeah, what do you think, what's going on with Gal Gadot, Wonder Woman news? What are your thoughts about it?
Well, I'm extremely happy, first of all, over the fact that someone was cast that is of, not of a Caucasian descent, I should say. You know, she looks, she has, you know, she has a slightly ethnic look to her, which I'm, you know, which I, you know, which I'll allow to pass, you know what I'm saying? And yes, she's very skinny, but of course, with the right regimen, she can become bodybuilder size. You know, she doesn't have to necessarily have the, you know, boobs, because Angela Jolie didn't have the boobs for Laura Croft, but they put fake ones on her. So, you know, and she never, you know, it's just, you know, people aren't the size of hobbits either. So, you know, there's a lot of camera tricks that can come into play here. There's a lot of technology that can come into play here that can adjust, you know, because all she has to, you know, they can even, they could probably even bronze her. Give her, you know, give her a slighter, you know, a slightly darker tint. She doesn't have to be a pale, you know, little girl, you know, because my initial, you know, look for Wonder Woman, you know, is someone who is slightly darker. You know, she doesn't have to be white, doesn't have to be black. But, you know,
olive
someone
skin.
Of an olive skin, someone, you know, of a darker ethnicity, you know, that would, you know, like someone said earlier, Sofia Vergara, you know, perfect, but, you know, I don't know how we'd get around the accent thing, even though technically being from that region, Wonder Woman would have an accent.
Yep.
Right.
You know, kind of like Wonder Girl on the DC Nation shorts.
Yep.
You know, I know that's a shocker to everybody to have her have that accent, but I'm like, well, if Wonder Woman was from that region, she would have that accent.
Right, yeah.
So, right. Right.
So, you know, I just think that I'm excited. That. I'm elated. You know, I think that as a movie, I think that it's kind of odd that they would put Wonder Woman in this movie, because now you have a Trinity movie sorts, which I think they're going to sneak something on us. I'm not quite sure, but to give her equal billing, you know, or to not even if she doesn't have equal billing, make sure that she can compete with Superman.
And Batman. Yeah. Batman's the biggest thing. It's like, it's Batman, then it's Superman, then it's everyone else in the DC movie world anyway, so I'm pretty sure, like, this is just a setup for Justice League. Like, they're just...
I'm glad you brought that up, because that was going to lead me to my next question. Do you think that there will ever be a Wonder Woman movie, or is this just an undercover Justice League that's in the works?
Justice League movie in the works. Definitely.
Justice League movie in the works.
Yeah, because, like, Avengers made, like, what, $1 billion-plus Infinity Dollars? So, yeah, there you go.
I feel like it's going to be like that. Like Avengers, like how they have those random characters. Like, because everybody can say Iron Man was a pretty bad movie. But they introduced Black Widow in that movie, so it can all wedge together.
And Nick Fury and everybody.
You know, the bonus out of all this is that when this movie comes out, probably around when it's released or after, the bonus will be that we will probably get to actually see some production stills or production artwork from that scrapped Justice League movie that was supposed to come out a couple years ago.
Somebody sooner or later is going to
leak the artwork, because we're like, well, hey, you know, we've already got a movie in the works, so we can put this out here.
Yeah, right. And plus, like, all the animated versions of Justice League movies do really, really well. Like, they just had Flashpoint and The Crisis and all those. They do really good. Like, if they do it like they do the animated versions, then I think a Justice League movie would do really, really well.
I have a question for you guys, then.
What's that?
Okay. Do you think that there should be a relationship between Batman and Wonder Woman, or Superman and Wonder Woman?
Neither.
Wonder Woman.
Neither.
That seems like it would be just too forced, and like that it's just, it has to be done, you know, almost kind of like Storm and Black Panther. As much as I liked it, it felt like, you know, it was just like, oh, let's put the two black people together.
Let's put the black people together, take like the Injustice League Unlimited, how they always hinted around at interacting with each other or interacting or dating each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
I think
it
that. Yeah,
like, it wasn't
that bad
because, like, it was just kind of like, it was like his own little universe, and, like, we saw, like, how Batman could never get, like, with anyone because he was all dark and grim and stuff like that, and Superman had Lois, so, yeah, I was, like, kind of okay with that because it was, like,
yeah.
Kind of, like, convert, not, like, overt, like they're doing now in the 52 universe and stuff. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah. I think well, they could do a Batman and Wonder Woman relationship, but I think it'll be along the lines of they're more along the lines of flirting with each other, but it's never going to go
right. All
the way of relationship and stuff,
yeah.
Which would be better.
Right.
Better, because if you force a Superman and Wonder Woman, then you're going to have a whole bunch of people like, well, they're just taking from New 52 and it doesn't have a build up to it. You
yeah.
know, so,
there you go.
You know,
yeah.
You know, so
that's why
it,
I'm
it,
reading that now. See.
I mean,
well,
it would
wanted...
be nice if. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. Go ahead, DeMario, and then I'll get to the
oh,
next
yeah.
thing.
Okay, well, I was going to say, well, if they imply, you know, but never actually, like you said, the flirting thing, you know, with the angle that they could take could probably be the angle like Wonder Woman's like, okay, well, there's no other man that's ever been able to, you know, compete with me or be this close to me, and then they never actually get close. I mean, no, but that would be something, you know, and, you know, Clark could, you know, always pull away because he's like, no, I can't do this, you know.
He has
and
Lois.
Just keep that. Yes, he has Lois, the lowly human.
Mm-hmm. Just wanted to address some tweets on Twitter since a lot of folks are chiming in on this conversation. Courtney Edwards says, Wonder Woman, I love Wonder Woman. As for Gal Gadot, I say give her a chance. People's feedback was immature. Be happy for one.
Yay.
Way
to go, Courtney.
I agree, Courtney. Awesome. Robert Young says, Justice League ain't happening. See a Green Lantern bomb. That ended that.
Well, if they change it to Green Lantern, that maybe could change some things.
Yeah. Like, yeah, they get, like, Ivis Ivra or, like,
please.
That, yeah. He could be John Stewart. I'm so sorry. Like, I want him for James Bond and Green Lantern, like, all the black superheroes, because he's a damn great actor. I'm sorry. I cannot get enough of him. Like, I literally saw Thor for, like, well, I saw Thor for Thor, but also Heimdall. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
He was just badass. Always.
He's sexy. Don't get me wrong. I love him. And somebody tweeted me the picture of him as a Green Lantern, and I was, like, all over it. But
yeah.
I just want to see some other brothers out there get a chance. All right? It just is, like, the de facto black actor when it comes to everything now, and we want him in everything. So I'd like to see someone else as Green Lantern. But, yeah, I love
Idris. Oh, Terrence Howard. He could be Green Lantern.
Oh,
ooh, no.
No?
Not baby wipes.
No.
We're not going to have baby wipes in that movie. Y'all don't know about baby wipes. Look that on Google. Just put Terrence Howard and baby wipes, and you will laugh for hours.
Wow.
Okay, there you go. Happy birthday to all Twitter people. But,
oh, my God. Terrence Howard as a Green Lantern, that would be more for comedic effect than anything else.
Yeah, that would truly be a
Twitter
disaster.
Being angry about that one. Can you imagine black Twitter on that with Terrence Howard being now?
That'd be a hot mess.
Yeah.
It would be.
That's ironic, considering the fact that I didn't mind him as, like, War Machine in the first movie, but, like, you watch Don Cheadle and it's like, well, I didn't like Terrence Howard now.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. All right, so I want to move on to some more news. This was published a little bit earlier than Wonder Woman, so some of you might have forgotten, but I'll refresh your memories. The news of Kamala Khan playing Ms. Marvel has also been recent in comic book news and definitely has piqued my interest, as well as most people. What is your opinion about a Muslim superheroine, and do you think that she'll be well-received by audiences?
Yes,
she
will.
I think so. Yeah.
She should.
And just was well-received. So,
I'm like super geeked that it's going to happen. Like, when I saw the news, I jumped on it with the quickness and gave how ecstatic I was, because the fact that not the fact even that she's Muslim, but that she's also younger, so she's a 16-year-old, so now you can have her relate to, you know, even, you know, bigger audience, and you can even introduce younger audiences into it.
you know, or younger females into it that may be like, oh, wow, okay, somebody that's like my age that, you know, is like me, she's a regular teenager, and, you know, all that good stuff. So I'm super ecstatic and ready for it to come out when it comes in January and February.
I'm glad that they have women really with that comic that's making the comic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
right.
And, but the only thing I am scared because I don't even want to go on the forums at this point to see what people say.
Yeah,
people really.
You know what? Shockingly enough,
people are
idiots. It's actually been split. I was shocked about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually been split.
It's been good.
So nobody's been
acting crazy.
Nah, because, I mean, for the most part, like I said, when Dust was introduced in the X-Men and stuff, she isn't really a huge, like, prominent character in the X-Men, but she was prominent enough when she came out.
Mm-hmm.
Not too many people were really tripping off of it because it was like, well, she's a Muslim character that can turn to dust. Okay, well, whatever, and stuff like that. But with this one, it was kind of like, oh, hey, this is interesting and stuff. But I think it actually will tap into that younger demographic because it fits into the Miss Marvel mythos of her trying to find her way. And, like, I think after House of M, she was trying to be this superhero now and stuff, you know, and
right.
say she's a pretty girl and stuff. So it fits into that mythos of you have this young girl who wants to be this superhero and live up to the Miss Marvel legend and stuff. So I think it could work. I mean, like I said, it's been split, which I think is better than, you know, majority hating. So obviously it's something that Marvel can build off of and actually make some good writing. I don't know who's writing it. I mean, do y'all know who's actually writing
yeah,
it?
Yeah, so the same people who wrote what's her name? Vixen, DC's Vixen. She's writing. She's one of the main writers, and then they also have a young lady who is Muslim, who's also on the team. So I can't think of her name. But
they did a report, but I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Just going to Twitter. gosh.
Yep.
I always pronounce your name wrong. I'm sorry if I do it again. I think it's Kaia. Kaia Danielle, she says Columbus Short needs to be cast as a superhero somewhere. Yeah.
Yep. Interesting. I wonder which one.
And then Infinite Speech says the creative team behind the book seems very credible and will add some authenticity to the character.
Yep.
So my next question, of the two comic book giants, DC and Marvel, what are some of the pros and the cons as it relates to content, the narrative, creativity, and character development?
Well, growing up as a DC girl, I think one of the cons is that they favor Batman more than a lot of their other heroes because he's kind of like their Wolverine. And so, like, he gets, like, all the talented writers and artists and the better storylines, and the other characters don't get us enough love. I mean,
yeah.
It was Superman's 75th birthday, like, this year, and, like, they waited till, like, darn near the summer to, like, do anything about it. Whereas, like,
mm-hmm.
they already started with Batman. Within
mm-hmm.
it. See? But I also don't really care for how they treat children and women either. You know, it's like Gail Simone is the one who started the whole women in the refrigerator and things like
yeah.
that. Because
mm-hmm.
they're, like, always killing women graphically and things like that. And it did take them a long time, longer than Marvel, to, like, you know, desegregate and things like that. So they really need,
yeah.
like, more minorities and women working in that company, not just
right.
Gail
yeah.
Simone.
It's not as diverse gender and race-wise, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is Gail Simone really just the only, as far as mainstream, female comic book writer out there?
No, there's others, because there's Pia, there's Fenella Staples, there's, like, a lot more, but, like, she's, like, the go-to example because she writes all the badass redheads, because she's redhead, so.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I would say, at least for me, I've been reading it for a while. I would say with DC, like you said, Batman is their bread and butter. That keeps
mm-hmm.
the lights on for DC. And I don't blame them. You know, they need something to keep the money flowing while also doing other things. But you know, at the same time, when they have too many. that's kind of what turned me off from DC. It's like there's too many huge event crossovers, Infinity and Crisis on Infinite Earth. And it's like
Quarter
I'm confused Owls. Right now. Yeah, well, Quarter Hours is good, but I was just saying like big events like Crisis on Infinite Earth and all this, and then, you know, Flashpoint and New 52.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like it's confusing, and it's like every big event was DC's way of saying, okay, we're trying to get new readers, so this is why we're doing this event, and then it doesn't work, and then they keep trying to reboot it, and they reboot it, and reboot it, and reboot it, and you're just stuck.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's to the point to where, even though that's a con of theirs, and also another con of theirs that I really hated was, like, when they did New 52, a lot of the Milestone characters and Wildstorm characters kind of got pushed to the background. So Static Shock and all of them just kind of, like, I kind of was a little pissed off that Static Shock kind of was, like, they canceled the
kind of dissipated.
You cancel Static Shock, you cancel Icon and stuff. The only really major black character that you got is what John Stewart and Batwing. And I mean, Batwing's a Batman title, so obviously he's going to still have his books because part of the Bat family and stuff. So, I mean, besides that, I would say the pros is they actually are starting to diversify. We have a Muslim Green Lantern, you know, and stuff. And, you know, there's some good books. Like I said, they did a good job with Aquaman and making him very relevant. Marvel side, I don't really have much of a problem with Marvel other than them sometimes kind of pushing some obscure characters to the background instead of continuing on with them. But, you know, it is what it is. But they do a good job with big events, but they don't know how to stick to the landing on them. I think Infinity is probably the first time in a while they actually made a big, huge event comic, and it actually was good from beginning to end. So their big issue is just they don't know how to stick the landing on doing event comics and stuff. But other than that, I never really had much of an issue with Marvel like that and stuff. They're doing good diversifying. You know, we got Black Spider-Man. I mean,
yeah, right. I wonder if he can get a movie, since, like, Johnny Storm's going to be black, so can they finally have a Black Spider-Man, too?
Hey, Donald Glover
See,
was
think,
trying to push for it, too.
Yep.
Right.
It was.
I think what will happen, though, is once, like, if Wonder Woman gets a movie, by herself, then I think that's when you'll find a black male character will have a movie by himself. But, like, you know, it's not going to happen anytime soon, I don't think. And as much as people, make a push
for it. They got
Black
Panther going, right?
But see, they've been teasing us with Black Panther so long that I really think it's just, you know, to keep trying to keep people on the boat. But, like, I really don't think they had any intention of bringing a Black Panther out. They don't even know who
they
want.
I don't think they have
a
writer, if anything. They have an idea.
He needs to be in Avengers because, like, it's not going to really, like, how are they going to keep having Avengers if Black Panther's not a part of it. It's like, to me, like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, they got Falcon, like, creeping in Captain America's movie, not Black Panther?
and they keep making these excuses. They're saying that they can't come up with a Wakanda. Like, you know, we don't know how to create a Wakanda, but I'm like, but you all can create Asgard.
Yeah.
So, like, how can we not create Wakanda? You can actually just go to the continent itself. It's really quite simple.
Thing about Black Panther, though, if you introduce him, that way you can introduce everything in with Avengers, because he was with Storm.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, now you can introduce and have all these comic books, like, mesh with each other.
Right.
So
Luke Cage could even be brought into the picture.
I mean,
you know.
Really, if you introduce him, you can introduce so many more characters. You can add so many more people into the Avengers. So them not doing it because they don't think it's going to make money is really stupid, because they can make more money and make more Avenger movies because, oh, okay, well, maybe this person doesn't want to come back. Well, we can introduce, you know, 5 new more characters into the Avengers. So they're kind of just pigeonholing themselves, just thinking Robert Downey Jr. is carrying his franchise, but he's going to be 50 soon. There's going to be only so much he can do before it's going to be like, okay, I'm too old to get my ass kicked like I used to.
I don't know. You got Sylvester Stallone and Robert De Niro boxing in a movie coming soon. So.
Oh, God, yeah.
And they're like,
Bruce
Willis.
Yeah, I mean, I get
they're on
the different. That,
yeah.
I mean, with Black Panther, though, I think they're just – I think they're – I'm going to say they're probably sitting on their hands and trying to juggle ideas on top of what they have, and they're teasing it like, oh, Black Panther's coming. It's like, okay, you're either going to tell us who it is or don't say anything.
Right.
You know, I'd rather you not say anything and I just theorize versus you saying something. And I'm like, okay, you're killing me with the tease here, man. You're killing me.
I also feel like they can do like
a comic book writers. You know, Erica Alexander is doing one with her husband and her brother. That's coming out soon.
Yeah, I'm kind of, I don't know, this might sound kind of messed up saying this, but her character is not black. She's like Hispanic or something.
Well, it's about there's a group of them. So there's like a group of teens that is the focus of the comic books. So they might bring in others later, maybe. I don't know. But the main female protagonist.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just felt some type of way about that. But,
I hear you on that.
But I saw on Twitter, you guys, I'm reading your tweets, awesome feedback tonight. I'm learning some stuff. So I did not know that – I knew about Erica Alexander. I did not know that Rashida Jones writes comic books, and also Rosario Dawson.
Rosario Dawson also
comic books. So I know Rosario played the role in Frank Miller's Sin City. So I didn't know that she was a writer as well. So that's awesome.
Both
there's
her
a
and
lot of nerds
that
in the Hollywood community. I love that.
Has
like a D&D tattoo. That's like cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Has the comic book industry been making strides as it relates to becoming more diverse in terms of race, gender, and sexuality, particularly within the DC and Marvel universes?
This is easy. I say DC has been failing.
Yeah.
I mean, I I'm pretty sure you've beaten the horse's death on this one, but like the Starfire situation and Red Hood and the Outlaws, Catwoman having sex with Batman and her issue for no reason other than, hey, she's having sex with Batman, didn't really make a lot of sense and stuff. And it's like, who's making these decisions at DC to really think that that's cool? Like, you
middle-aged
know,
white guys going through a midlife crisis.
I guess. I mean, that didn't make any sense. I'm sitting there like, okay, I don't mind if you want to sexualize a costume. I'm not bothered by that. I've read too many comics to the point where I don't care about that. But, like, why would you Starfire – I know, but it's like, why would you make Starfire like this nymphomaniac character when that's not her character? Like, you know, at least Catwoman, you know, having sex with Batman, I can buy because that's Catwoman – you know, love it or hate her, but, you know, you could buy that even though you don't want to see that. But it's like, kids are reading this book. You're trying to get kids to read it. Why are you putting this in the book, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't see that with, Marvel. Granted, you know, they have killing off some female characters for no reason, but that's whatever. But you know, like, my thing is, why over-sexualize the characters than what they need to be in the first place? That's my thing. Yeah, DC
agreed.
Ramon Revolution Guy says, Marvel, they are not afraid of black characters. Stop this nonsense about blacks and women in solo comic book movies.
Yep. Well, I think it's like we need to differentiate, though. Like, it's the comic books, and then there's the movies. And so, like, they don't all, you know, think the same way. Like, it's one thing in the comic book world, but it's another in the mainstream world. Like, we're used to blacks and women kicking butt, but mainstream America, not so much. Like, even though we have Hunger Games and things like that, I don't know. I don't really see, like, a lot of people, like, really buying, like, a black dude, you know, kicking ass in Africa. That's just me, though. Because, like, I mean, we can't even handle a black president without the government, you know, having hissy fits and shutting down and acting like a bunch of babies, so. Like.
Well, I think I feel very confident. I said that this morning. I think that there will be a Storm film coming out. There's a creator right now, director, that's doing a Storm fan film based off of the book Storm, and she just raised money for Kickstarter. She went over. She's taken pictures with Stan Lee, so apparently Stan Lee must know about what's going on with her film. So, hey, if her film does well – yeah, if her Maya Glick, if her film does well, then that obviously speaks to the fact that there would be a Storm film that could come easily from this. So I do want to say thank you guys for listening in. We are wrapping up right now. We'll probably get cut off in just a moment, but thank you for – and we're off. So thank you for listening in to our podcast. Next week, we've got a special guest. She's the creator of this amazing website of Music and Men is her project. She's also doing a Kickstarter crowdfunding fund for her site, but she's doing something a little different and using e-commerce as a way to facilitate funds into her project. So tune in next week, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. BlackGirlNerds.com is the website where you can always find fresh content about everything going on in the geek community. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for coming and talking to us. This was great discussion. We obviously need to do a part two because I was not expecting to end this quickly. Say that again?
Yes, we definitely do.
That was like good time.
Yeah. So thank you guys. Really appreciate it. Take care. You guys stay blessed.
Finally.